We'll make room for you. There's room at the inn. Welcome, welcome to the folks online. Jeff Sachs here. Hello to James Dobbs. Your name looks new to me. Have you been with us before online?
Not online, no. It's a real pleasure to be joining you live. Oh,
welcome, welcome. Where are you from?
Skokie, Illinois, just outside Chicago.
Sure, yeah, we know Skokie. Where's, oh, Steve's not here. Steve? Steve Kirshner is usually a regular attendee of the Shiur. He's a Skokie boy.
Oh, we might know each other. We probably run in some of the same circles out here.
Yeah, well, he's been living here in Israel now for 30 years, so.
Oh, never mind.
I don't know. Well, anyway. Oh, he has a sister. Yes, he has a sister, but she's not in Skokie anymore.
I don't know.
Oh, well, he's got more than one sister. Anyway, enough with the Jewish geography. We're here in Masechet Kiddushin. We're at the bottom of Daf Nun Omid Aleph, the very bottom. Mishnah. The Mishnah on the last two lines. Tzvi, the Mizel, who, no family connection.
No connection that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're all connected, but if he's not on your immediate family tree.
Who's Mizel?
Mizel's.
It's the same thing. It's all the same. Anyway, all of the neshamot.
Originally Baltimore.
All of the neshamot of Aliyot. The Mishnah says, Hamakadesh Shtei Nashim. Already, we're in fantasy land here. You understand?
What?
I get, but bevat achat in one shot. Yeah. You try to double dip, right? In other words, you know that in order to affect Kiddushin, there has to be a transference of wealth, money, a ring, an object of worth. Our universal custom is we do it with a plain gold ring, but it can be anything. So you do it with, and that object has to be worth a pruta, which is the minimal value of financial worth that's actually worth anything. So if you give a woman, we universally use a gold ring. So even the cheapest gold ring is certainly, you don't have anything to worry about that. It's not a shavet pruta. You know, when the Masada Kedushin turns to the Edom and says, do you think it's a shavet pruta? And they nervously laugh because it's a joke. Obviously, it's a...
Unless women pull out a loop.
Even if you pull out a loop. Even if you pull out a loop to look at it, I mean, I don't know what you would say. A loop is good for gems, but for plain gold, you know. Even if it was, what do they call that? Fake gold.
Fool's gold.
Pyrite. Fool's gold. Pyrite. Even if it was pyrite, it would be worth a shavet pruta. So you have one. You have an object which is worth exactly a shavet pruta. This is a hypothetical case, the way the Gemara likes to make hypothetical cases of the imagined act, whose performance simultaneously violates all 39 malachot. It's a hypothetical construct. So with this one exact shavet pruta, you simultaneously try to be mekadesh two women at once.
Question: just a more hypothetical question.
Yeah. Speak up so they can hear you online.
So this is one of these classic, like you said, this is one of these classic questions in the Gemara that allows more, not for practical purposes, but it probably used like as an edge case to be able to determine other laws, whatever. But in the Mishnah, what's the purpose of doing in the Mishnah? Were they anticipating that the Gemara was going to come out of it so that they needed to have these cases already here? The Mishnah is a small codification. Doesn't have a lot of extra space to, you know, let extra words. You would think that in a Mishnah, you would be much more practical. And in the Gemara, fine, they'll bring all these ideas. It's unusual to me that the Mishnah would spend words on that.
There may be something to what you say. It might be atypical rather than typical. So, HaMakadei Shtei Nashim B'Shavei Pruta. Oh, second case. Isha achat bepachot mishavet pruta, or one woman with something of less than the minimum required value. Af al pi. So first of all, before we go on, what would you think about these two cases? There's nothing to talk about. So why does the Mishnah even mention something which is so obviously?
They're similar.
What?
They're similar.
But in other words, there's a similarity between them, but both of them are so halachically irrelevant. That one wonders what's the Gemara's What's the Gemara going to ask? What's the Gemara's opening question going to be? Don't look ahead. Don't look ahead.
No, not me.
What do you imagine the Gemara is going to ask?
Why bring both cases?
Why? Not only why both cases. Why either case? Right? In either case, there's no hava amina. There's no plausible hypothesis, lichora, that you would need to state such an obvious halacha. Okay.
There's one point, though. Mm-hmm. One point. You didn't marry her simultaneously.
Why?
You got to marry two women simultaneously.
That is, so it happens.
So once you married, we're talking about the first case that was over, it was a Shabbat Pruta.
Yeah.
Second case, it's not going to be popular.
So then,
why do you say that one was after the other? Maybe they were both at the same time.
Okay, it looks like the same time.
And in front of the two of them and say, hooray, attend the production, please.
Yeah. And you put it inside, they cup. They put, well, first of all, it's a coin, not a ring. And they put their hands together, and he puts it right here in the middle. I don't know. The point, the Gemara doesn't even ask the question. The Gemara doesn't even ask the question, how would you do it? Like, how would this, Lu Yitzur, somebody wanted to do this, how would it be carried out from practice? Right? It's just a hypothetical construct. So, case number one, he tries to marry two women with a Shavet Pruta, meaning each one is only getting half. Case number two, you try to marry one woman with a half a Pruta. In both cases, af al pi, now here's where it becomes interesting. Af al pi, sheshalach sivlonot la'achar mikein, eina mikudeshet, top of 50b. So what happens? He gives each of them, basically what's he doing? In both cases, there are three women in two cases. In the first case, there's two women. In the second case, there's one woman. In each case, they're each getting, let's say, a half a pruta. So obviously there's nothing to talk about, except what?
Promise to deliver the rest of it.
No. Yeah, maybe it's a down payment. And then he sends them afterwards, sivlonot, gifts. Rashi says, Doronot shederech chatan Lishloach Larusato. It's on the bottom of the previous page. The minag is that when you get engaged, the chassan gives the kala gifts. Right? What do you give? I mean, we discovered this when we made a wedding. Right? That the chassan doesn't send anything. The parents are supposed to do it. Right? That they bought our son a fancy, fancy watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we bought her... Right, pearls or something, and the candlesticks, and they bought a talis, and we bought candlesticks. And who knew there was like such rigid rules? But the minhag was when after you'd get, I said engaged. I don't mean engaged the way we mean engaged. I mean halachically engaged, mikudashin. They're not yet fully married, but they are. They're the first stage of marriage. So you're supposed to send gifts. So when he sends the gifts, maybe. Maybe what Rashi says, "Eina mikudeshet velo amrinan yodea haya she'en kiddushav kiddushin v'gamar v'shalach sivlonot l'shem kiddushin." He knew when he gave a half a pruta that that's not halachically meaningful, but maybe he thought it was just like a down payment. And when he sent the gift afterwards, the gift was obviously worth the pearls or candlesticks, or you name it. That's the money, right?
It's the balance.
So it's more than the balance. So kamash malan, that's not the case, because that the giving of the gifts afterwards is not a maase kiddushin, an act with which the kiddushin is affected. What's the etymology of sivlonot? It means
so
gift.
Tzadok says it has two possible etymologies. One is it's from Hebrew, and it's like saval is similar to nasa, something you lift up, something you can give, which might be related to the give. And the other is it's a Greek etymology, which might mean something like a down payment or something that.
It's not connected to the Hebrew lisbol.
No, it is.
To suffer.
Yeah, it is. Well, lisbol is to bear.
to bear.
To bear is to suffer.
Well, that's the Jewish version of suffering. Yeah. It's something to be born.
No, the idea of sabalut.
Right.
Yeah, like the schlepper. Yeah. That's it. The father of the bride and the father of the groom, they're like the schleppers. They have to bear the cost of...
They're not like they are.
Yeah, I'll have to... Here we got two fathers of the bride here.
Father of the bride?
I said, I told you, get married on the base. Even in wartime, the father of the bride is still a father of the bride.
Father of the what?
The father of the bride is still a father of the bride, even in wartime.
I told my granddaughter that they should get married in uniform.
Yeah.
Same mind.
The army pays for it.
So you can get married in uniform.
No gown.
No suit.
Yeah. Take the money and run.
They didn't want that yet.
Nope, they didn't. Okay. Now the Mishnah says, where am I? No, I'm on 40B. This is a mistake. I know, but on the screen, I'm on the wrong page.
What do you
mean? For some reason, I have the wrong file here. I'm sorry. I apologize. Please hold on 1 second while I download the right file.
No, they didn't know from
sorry. Right.
Pleasure to come back tomorrow, and I'll share.
No. I needed the file on my computer to show the people online.
I see.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It was somehow mislabeled.
This very place when it was shown, we didn't have a show.
Yeah, Kiddushin, Daf, Omid Beis.
If you have to say, this is the down payment.
Would it have made a difference if he sent us a down payment?
He doesn't say anything, which is very... No, so
he would have said it?
If it was a different case, it would be a different case.
Is the two, there was a disconnect between the two.
Down. Okay, I'm sorry. Here we go. So at the top of the page. So, Eina Mikudeshet. She Mechamat Kiddushin Harishonim Shalach. That's why does he send the gifts?
Because he thinks that they were already married.
He thinks that the half a pruta that he gave was already Kiddushin. Right? In other words, if we have a business deal, right? If we have a business deal that I'm going to, you know, I don't know. Let's say you own a company and I want to buy your company. So I buy the guys. Let's say you're selling the company for $100 million. So I write you a check for $100 million. You take the check. The company is now mine. I mean, probably we have to sign papers and all that other stuff. The company is mine. So then to celebrate, I bring a fancy bottle of tequila. How much is this tequila worth? Awesome. 179 shekel. Wow. 180 shekel. Right? And I say, hey, l'chaim, let's have a l'chaim. And then you notice the check I wrote wasn't for $100 million. It was for 100 million minus 180 shekel. Because I figured, well, I pay the money, but I'm also giving you a gift, and the gift is worth something. But so would you say that the sale actually, I mean, for a value that much for 180 shekel, probably we're not going to niggle. But technically speaking, did I make the proper payment?
Right.
No. So there's no havamina that the gift you sent later is the actual vehicle through which you affect the kiddushin, right? So that's why there's no kiddushin here. Now the third case. Shalach v'chein katan shekidesh, and so too a minor, a child, who tries to make kiddushin. Rashi fills in the blanks. What are we talking about? V'shalach sivlonot mishe higdil. A katan before bar mitzvah cannot, his act of kiddushin, in air quotes, is halachically meaningless. Right? If he says, if a 12-year-old says Hariat Mikudeshetli and gives it to a nice girl, and there's Edim, and there's a chuppah, and there's little hot dogs, pigs in a blanket, and a lachayim, they're not married. It's halachically meaningless. So what if he gives a chatzi pruta before he becomes...
I'm not sure that's a chatzi pruta. It could be a whole pruta.
Or a whole pruta.
The thing that counts, right? Is underage.
And then he gives a gift afterwards, after his bar mitzvah, because after his bar mitzvah he got a couple of checks. He's, you know, rich. Right? So he got two copies of what's the bar mitzvah gift of choice these days? Yeah, well, let's say it used to be a fountain pen. Who got a fountain pen for their bar mitzvah? I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm old enough that I even got a fountain pen for my bar mitzvah. Once upon a time, the Sefer HaAgadah was the gift of choice for Sefer Toda'ah, right? So it happens. People get two copies of Sefer Toda'ah. So he figures, I've got a spare. I'll be Mekadesh with my spare Sefer Toda'ah. Joke's on him. They're going to get married. Now he's going to have two copies again. That's why I never bought a Dat Mikra. I didn't get married so young. David got married. He was like 11. I didn't get married so young. I never bought the set of Dat Mikra because I knew whoever I was going to marry, she was going to have one. I didn't know who she was. Betach. Betach.
I was on the top of the checklist.
No, in other words, like, it didn't occur to me that if the girl I would marry wouldn't be the kind of person that didn't have a Dat Mikra. So I figured I'll wait. And it all worked out for the best.
Yeah.
So when he after bar mitzvah he sends her a gift, right, and thinks that's kiddushin. Certainly not kiddushin. There are three cases. The first case, two women with one pruta, one woman with a half a pruta, and the third case, a katan, a child who gives kiddushin before he becomes a halachic adult, and then gives a gift. The gift after
all three cases, so there's no.
The gifts that are given afterwards are not halachically effective in creating a kiddushin.
Okay. Now, if not for the Rashi, I would say it makes sense to put that in there. It must be teaching you something. I have no idea what, though, because Rashi says he sends the gifts after he becomes bar mitzvah, which makes him even less qualified. I mean, supposedly, the first two cases, the man involved is a gadol.
In both of the first two cases, the man.
Oh, you shouldn't even have to tell me. Well, he's a katan, of course. It's the same thing. So,
no, it's not about time. The time has passed, not about the money. It's about the time that's passed.
But is it very hot? You hot?
That's the
turn down the air. Turn down the heat.
Or rather, he's now a gadol when he sent us to get. But if he were a gadol to begin with, it wouldn't have helped.
No, maybe gadol to begin with.
If he was a gadol to begin with, then it would be the second case. Right?
Or either one, but either the first or the second.
Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara says vitzricha. All three of these seemingly unnecessary cases. Each case is necessary, and not only that, all three are necessary. This is a typical Gemara response, but the thing which is to you apparently unnecessary, because you know the Amoraim were very concerned about the price of ink in the days of the Tanoim. They didn't want the Tanoim wasting too much ink.
And they didn't use ink cartridges.
And they didn't want ink here is expensive. So they didn't want the Amor. They didn't want the Tanoim, you know, spending too much extra time and money writing things that were unnecessary that could have been inferred or known without saying the obvious.
It had to be a good reason for saying it.
There had to be a reason for saying it. So the Gemara says v'tzricha. No, each of the three clauses is necessary. Why? De'iash mo'inan shave pruta. If we would have said the case of the Shove Pruta, yeah. Ide de kanofik mamono minetoi. He might have thought that since, how much money did he spend? Apruta. How much money do you need in order to affect Kiddushin? Apruta. Did he give out apruta? Did he spend apruta? He gave apruta. Ah! He was trying to double dip. But he gave a shove apruta. Maybe it should work. Maybe. How many stones does it take to kill a bird? One stone. Is it possible to kill two birds with one stone? Yes, Horaya. Horaya, not that I'm comparing a dead bird to a beautiful new bride, you understand. But is it possible to kill two birds with one stone? Yes, Horaya, there is such an expression in English. What's the Hebrew idiom for to kill two birds with one stone? What? No, but that's just a translation. That's not an authentic Hebrew. Right? So can you kill two birds with one stone? Yes. If you taka, kill two birds with one stone, how many stones did it cost you? One stone? So sometimes maybe it's possible. Maybe what's necessary is not the transference of wealth, but the symbolic display of the man's pruta. And maybe, therefore, you can do it. So if in the first case, in the Reisha, where he tries to be Makadish two women simultaneously with one pruta, Yodesh ein kiddushin tovsin. So Ema, Yodesh ein kiddushin tovsin bepachot mishave pruta. So you say no. Everybody knows that you can't make kiddushin without something that's one pruta per woman. It takes one stone to kill each bird, not like the English idiom. V'chi kamishader sivlonot adata did kiddushin kamishader. So therefore, when he sends, he knows that his one pruta for two women could not have created kiddushin. So therefore, when he sends the gifts, he obviously, why would he be sending gifts to women that aren't his wife? The giving of the sivlonot is an indicator of what?
He thinks it worked.
What?
He thinks it worked.
No. That's why he sent gifts. No, he doesn't think it worked. Because he knows that a half a pruta doesn't work. So if he's giving gifts now,
after he's given
this half pruta, if he's giving gifts now, and he knows that the half pruta didn't accomplish anything, because everybody knows that, so the gifts now obviously must only be for the purposes of the kiddushin.
You don't need to give gifts to your wife.
That's what you said.
Right? So. So obviously that's why you have to state the obvious. In other words, without stating this case, somebody might have thought that it would work. So you have to say, call what we say, as we say, call mashmalon. You state the obvious in order to preempt the mistake. And if we would only tell you the first two cases, right, and not tell you the case about the katan, mishum de ben pruta lepachot mishave pruta lo kim lehu leinshe. Whether you give a pruta or you give less than a pruta, it's not so kim leinshe. It's not so established for people. It's not so clear and obvious, right? What's going on? And whether or not there was how much he gave. Aval katan shekidesh, hakol yodin she'en kiddushe katan klum. In other words, if you go to a wedding, you've been to a wedding recently? I was at a wedding. Whose wedding? Oh, blank made a wedding the other night. I mean, there were eidim and there was a rabbi, and I trusted that everything was done proper and kosher. They looked like very religious people. There was payas and the whole thing. But did I see the ring? There were 300 people there, right? Did they know that it was Shavuot Pruta? They relied on the fact. So what if it wasn't Shavuot Pruta? What if it wasn't Shavuot Pruta? So people would think that this woman is an Eishes Ish, and they would think that people would think they're married, right? But if a katan tries to be Makadi, everybody knows this is no good. Uh-huh. Everybody knows there's no havamina that this could possibly work. Shen kiddushin klum. So ema ki kamishader sivlonot adaata de kiddushay. So in that case, if you'd only first case, and But you didn't specify the case, this case about the Kiddushin, which the Gemara, Elliot, you see the Gemara is pretty clearly understood, the Mishnah, to be not just a regular case of a katan, but a katan who then gives the gifts afterwards. So then you would really think even the katan knows and the kala knows and the parents of the katan and the kala know, and all of the assembled and the dearly beloved, everybody knows that giving of the shavet pruta before the bar mitzvah is meaningless. So then there's reason to suspect that they think when they give the gifts afterwards that the gift is the vehicle for kiddushin, is the vehicle for kamashmalon. So it's coming to teach you now that it doesn't work, that it's meaningless, that in all these cases it's meaningless, the whole davar, and whether he gives gifts afterwards, he doesn't give gifts afterwards, it's meaningless, the whole davar. What would be the fear? Like, why do we have to state the obvious and reject the obvious in all three cases? And as if, Taka, we all agree that in none of these cases is there kedushin.
She's not renacious, is she?
Yes, there's not a chashash. There's no fear that she was married and would need a get before another, right? You know, like you have these, there are all those stories about, what do they call them?
Mock weddings,
right? In camp or in school or something where you have these little kids in seventh grade or something. And I don't personally know, but everybody has heard these stories of these cases, and it goes to, in my day they would say, and they had to go to Rav Moshe Feinstein to find out, what.
7 years old.
What?
7 years old.
No, but in seventh grade. Seventh grade, eighth grade. This is the nafkamina being, does she need a get? Can she marry a Kohen when she, 10 years later, when she is actually really in the parsha? So, what's his name talked about it?
Saw this happen with my daughter Gentle, in school.
Gentle.
Isaac Bashevis.
No, yeah, Isaac Bashevis singing about the story, but the movie with Barbara Streisand, who's the actor who plays the.
Plays what?
Oh, no, wait, I'm thinking of something else, because there.
Are you talking about Fiddler on the Roof?
No, not Fiddler on the Roof. There was some movie where they did a wedding, and the actor wasn't Froom, I think. I was thinking of, was it Mandy Patinkin? He was in Yentl. Yeah, he was in Yentl. But who does he marry in Yentl? He doesn't marry Barbara Streisand.
Hadass. Yeah.
Oh, whatever. And as Barbara Streisand does, Barbara Streisand's in love with him, but he's not in love with Barbara Streisand because he thinks Barbara Streisand's a boy. Right. So, I forget what it is. There's some actor who's not Froom. There was some actor who's not Froom. Maybe it was Mandy. I don't know. There was some actor who's not Froom. But he was traditional enough, or he had some kind of yeshiva education to know that you got to be careful. We're filming this scene. you got to be careful. Yeah, I remember some interview or something like this. So kamash melon. So now the Gemara says itmar. Rav Huna Omar. Wait a second. Hoshashin lesivlonot. You have to be concerned that maybe the gifts that are given, do affect Kiddushin. In the Sfarim, like the contemporary Sfarim, soon it'll be Purim. Not soon enough. But soon enough it'll be Purim. And on Purim you give Shlach Manot. So when you're in yeshiva, you learn all the halachot. And one of the things that's written in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Svarim, in the Halacha Svarim, is that a single boy shouldn't give Shlach Manot to a single girl. It's not proper. So why isn't it proper? So first of all, how would a yeshiva bacher even know a single girl to know where to send it to? He shouldn't even know that they exist. Chas v'shalom. But the fear that if a single man gives a gift to a single woman, maybe it's done l'shem kiddushin. And maybe there are two people at the door when it's given. And we all know that Hariat Mekudeshet Li is not b'di'evid required, this declaration.
Oh, it's just the giving.
Right? So perhaps, you know, maybe there's a fear, maybe there's a chashash that this creates some kind of kiddushin, or it creates, I don't know, I'll create this term, avak kiddushin, like a rumor of kiddushin. And then people see
some declaration be required.
According to Rav Huna, we have to be concerned. According to Rav Huna, you have to be concerned about.
But was shimusiv or not in this case?
Right. So in this case, it's already a couple. It's already a couple who are in the parsha, right? Maybe they're engaged the way that we talk about engagement, which is not halachically, but they're already. So Rav Huna amar choshashin l'sivlanot, v'chein amar Rabba. Rabba says choshashin l'sivlanot. You have to be concerned that this creates some kind of kedushin. So Omar Rabba, and as Rav Huna says this, and Rabba says it. But then Rabba preempts a question. You know what a meitve is?
Strong question.
Meitve is a refutation. So here's something you don't see that often in the Gemara. It's a meitve of Rabba on Rabba. In other words, what's he doing? He's asking a preemptive attack question on himself. He says, umot vinan ashma'atin. And let's ask Akasha on what we just said. Af al pi sheshalach sivlonot la'achar mikan eina mikudeshet. What's that from? What a meitve is what kind of attack? Right? It's an attack of a Tanaitic source against an Amoraic source. Rabba is an Amora. He's later. But he knows that his statement that you have to be concerned about Sivlonot is contradicted by a source in the Mishnah. Which Mishnah? This Mishnah. This Mishnah said that even though he gave gifts, Eina Mikudeshet, it doesn't create Kiddushin. So what are we worried about? The Mishnah itself says you don't have to be worried about this. So why are we worried? Well, we're Jews. We're worried. Right? So Omar Le Abaye Hatam Kidekatani ta'ama shemachmat kiddushin arishonin. Now, when the Mishnah said, Abaye explains Rabba's question on Rabba himself. When the Mishnah says that you don't really have to worry about sivlonot, that's according to the reason given in the Mishnah. What's the reason given in the Mishnah? Or what's the havamina that's given in the Mishnah? That he gives the gifts after having performed the subpar kiddushin, less than a shaveh pruta, or before bar mitzvah, meaning he's tried to effect kiddushin, but he doesn't get above the threshold because he's given too little money to each woman, because he gave it 2 days before he was legally allowed to give it. And then the gifts, the havamina, the rejected thought, but the thought is that the gifts that I'll give afterwards will either put me over the budgetary top, or now that I'm an adult, I am finishing the deal. Right? So that's the case that the Mishnah says, but those sivlonot do not affect kiddushin, because they're not given for kiddushin, they're given for gifts. But in our case, maybe that's not the story. But there are those that say, Omar Rabba, mana amin Allah, bidikatani ta'ama shemachmat kiddushin arishonim shalach. Hacha hu detoi. So that's the Mishnah. But in our case, maybe he just made a mistake. Maybe he thought that giving the gifts would somehow do something. Haba'al mehave kiddushin. V'abaye lo miboye. But Abaye doesn't require this. There's no fear of this. He rejects this idea that the sivlonot are something to be concerned about. Because they weren't even in the case that Rabba is talking about, the case that Rav Huna is talking about, they weren't even in the parsha of Kiddushin at all. In other words, if a boy sends a gift, it's true that in Shulchan Aruch it says a boy shouldn't send Mishloach Manot to a girl. But Abaye here in the Gemara says the Havamina, the hypothesis that giving the gifts create the Kiddushin, a hypothesis which, by the way, is rejected. But at least, you know what a Havamina is? Mm-hmm. What does the word Havamina mean?
Rebuttable presumption.
A rebuttable, oh, that's right, we've done this before. A rebuttable presumption. But what do the words mean? What?
I would have said.
Hayiti Omer. I would have said. If this, I would have said that. If you had said this, or if this had been the case, or if this had been the reality, I would have said X. But X is wrong. And to prevent me from falling into the trap of saying X, then we have to state the obvious why. Why? Because we don't want you to say X. What? So the rebuttable presumption in the Mishnah is that he did something. What did he do? He did an act of kiddushin. What kind of act of kiddushin?
Inadequate.
An inadequate act of kiddushin, a possible act of kiddushin. But at least he's expressed interest that this is the girl I want to marry. I go into the supermarket, and there's a lovely girl sitting at the kupa, and I hand her money, and there's people watching. It's Friday. Is there any havamina that I did at L'Shem Kiddushin? No. Why? Because as the president of Harvard said, it depends on context. She was right. It depends on context. From the context, it's so obvious. This is not a Masa Kiddushin. Even though the man is passing. The truth is I don't cast my, nobody passes by. You know, like, you're going to go to the chup, next chup you're going to go to. The guy's going to take out his phone and click on it and say, Hariat Mikudeshitli, and you'll hear the ping. So, or the Apple Watch, right? They'll click Apple Watches. So it depends on the context. But in our case, in the Mishnah's case, he already did this act, which shows he's trying to be Mekadesh her. So when you give gifts, taka there's a havamina, that you're trying to finish the deal, to close the deal. But stam a gift? They're not, they weren't nachit betorat kiddushin. They're not, as we say in proper English, they're not in the parsha. They're not even within the realm of so kiddushin.
Would a couple that was engaged in the moderate sense of being engaged and gave. And,
ah, so that's a gift. Yeah.
And the fiance gives her a gift. They're certainly planning getting married.
So I don't know what the contemporary poskim say about that case.
It certainly happens. There's no question.
Yeah, we certainly do it.
Yeah, but they don't.
No, but
maybe that's why. Maybe that's why it's the parents that give the gifts. Maybe it's the parents. But it's true. I mean, not just that. Boyfriends and girlfriends give gifts to each other. People that are dating.
But in some world,
we're not concerned. Maybe in the Haredi world, they're careful about these things. But lema'aseh, we're not makbid on this.
Gifts are like nobody's
gifts. No, the parents give gifts. Okay, the parents give gifts. Look, everybody knows that when it comes to the parents spending money, everything is mutter. But
is there a delineation for a gift from the parents versus tzedakah?
I'm sorry, James, you have to speak up.
Oh, can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Is there a delineation between a gift from the parents and tzedakah from the parents? Say that there's a financial hardship that the parents of one of the intended undergoes, and the parents of the man, for example, give tzedakah to the family. Would that qualify?
No, in all cases, in other words, it would be a gift. It would be charity. It would be wonderful. Maybe I can give you the phone number of my soon-to-be mechutanim, and you can give them some ideas. But in all cases, if the father of the groom gives a gift to the father of the bride, or if the father of the groom gives a gift to the bride, that doesn't create kiddushin. There's nothing to be concerned that act creates the marital kiddushin until the chatan, the groom himself, does it with money that belongs to him. Now, maybe the money that belongs to the chatan came from the father. But the father has to gift it to the son, and now it's the son's technical legal property, and then he can do with that shavet pruta as he wishes. So the Gemara goes on. El afilu hacha denochit latorat kiddushin. In our Mishnah, where they're already obviously expressed interest in getting married, ema havu kiddushin. So maybe in the Mishnah, so maybe there would be reason to suspect that the gifts, because it's within the realm of wanting to come ashmalon. No, reject that idea. Reject that. Even in the case of the Mishnah where they, which would maybe would be parallel to our contemporary case of people get engaged, which has no halachic meaning. There are interesting shilas about, if you look in the contemporary Sfarim about marriage, you know, there are these books, you know, like everybody knows Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata. So in that model, Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata was the first book of that model. And once Rav Neuwirth, Zichrono Livracha, created that book, it became the template for how contemporary halachic works are written. So there's no end. There's Tefillah Kehilchata, and there's you name it. So there's a book, it's two volumes, called Nisuin Kehilchata. If you're a Masada, if you have an opportunity to be Masada Kedushin, it's very useful to review all of the halachot. But it's like one of these things where he tells you, you know, about this, there's five different minhagim. And which one is right? It doesn't matter. There's Avelut Kehilchata and all these other types of books, these guidebooks, you know, for the layman to look up a question. I saw today, I came across this, something I'm editing for tradition. There's a book called Otsar HaKippah, which is about the halachot of Kippah. How many pages do you think are in the Otsar HaKippah?
3,742.
1,500. I'm not. It's two volumes, two fat volumes. Each one 750 pages.
When did the kippot stop being a thing anyway?
Yeah. Say, Sharon, say again.
When did kippot stop being a thing? It's relatively new. Yeah,
the Gemara Masechet Shabbat says that it's a mark of Yirat Shamayim to cover your head, but okay. It's not exactly what we think of as, you know, kippah. Yeah. I mean, this book, it's 1,500 pages. It's not just kippot. It's also Strimlach and cats and all head coverings in Jewish law and minhag.
What's it called again?
Otsar HaKippah. Otsar HaKippah.
Is it women as well as men?
What?
Is it just from the male viewpoint?
Yeah, well, you would, for women's head covering, you would need more than two volumes. And it would have to come with illustrations,
which you can't see.
So I don't know in color. This is the so in the Hilchot Nisun Kehilchata, so they have one section that covers what we call engagement, right? What in halachic language is sometimes called shiduchin, right? In other words. Did any of you sign tanoim at your wedding, at your wedding or your children's weddings? So today, people sign tanoim
at the engagement
in advance. Okay. Oh, yeah. And the tanoim, the mothers get to break a plate. So everybody's happy. But the tanoim, the way that we do it, are largely. What does the tanoim say? The tanoim says it's an agreement between the parents that we agree that if you buy like a standard Tanoim form, right, all it says is B'simin Tov u'V'mazel Tov, Mishpachat Cohen and Mishpachat Levi agree that their children, Shmerel and Chanale, are going to get married. And then it says there's a blank line, right, which is meant to set the date. And if you don't get married by that date, technically the whole thing is off. So you don't want to do that. So you write Sheit Chatnu B'sha Tova u'Mutzlachat. At a good, happy time. And they agree that each side will pay, and you write kinahug, according to what's acceptably the custom.
But don't they itemize it, don't
they? I mean, technically you could itemize it and make it a more formal document, but nobody does, because the reason you're doing the tanaim, particularly if you're doing it at the wedding, which is about to take place in a half hour, no, it only makes sense because it allows you to have two more kibudim, because you have two witnesses on it, so you can give out honors to two more people, and the mothers get to break plates.
The tanaim, from what I understand, basically took the place of the original Erusin.
It took the place
of the original. The Erusin were a year before the wedding, and then they brought it close to the Chuppah, so right. There wouldn't be a chance of any stuff.
Yeah.
And the Tanai used to be a year before the wedding, and then they brought that close because maybe it's something. I think the Gra says
there's
a suffix of needing a get after Tanai.
So, Lamas said that's not the case. But Lamas, that's not the halacha Lamas said. When you sign, if you make this Tanoyim at the engagement party a month or 2 months or 3 months before, and then Rachmanis, the engagement gets called off.
Give a letter. I did not research it.
Yes. Time, so yeah. You're supposed to ask the side that breaks the engagement. Is meant to ask Mechila for breaking the engagement. This is the subject of a famous Agdon story. You wouldn't be surprised. And in the Halacha Sfarim, they talk about what about the Doronot. What about all the gifts that were given? Those pearls and those candlesticks and the talis and the watch.
I wanted to ask that question in the Mishnah.
Yeah.
On the Siglo note, do they have to be returned?
So according to the Svarim, normally speaking, if you give me a gift, right, and then we have a fight. The gift is my property still, right?
That's not what happened here.
It was given as a kind of. Yeah, so in other words, there's an assumption that I'm giving you this gift because you're marrying my daughter. Forget a talis and pearls. Often you give a very expensive, not so much here, but you give an expensive diamond ring, right? According to Modern Bride or one of those, the cost of the ring is meant to be like, you know, a quarter of an annual salary or some big, I don't know, some crazy Michigas. No, it's like an insurance policy she had on her finger, like money in case something happened. So I think it's pretty common, like in every movie you've ever seen where she breaks the engagement, it ends with her taking off the ring and putting it on the table.
Romeo.
Right? Well, it depends on what the cause of the broken engagement is. Well, so in the halachasvarim, it talks about this, the propriety of having to return all of these, gifts. That is a different question about, like, what about the common gifts? Like, you know, Aunt Doris sent a toaster oven in advance of the wedding, and the wedding gets called off. Like, what do you do with the toaster oven? Do you have to send it back to Aunt Doris? I don't know, but like these things are discussed. You know, like whose property is this? Because the gift was given to this corporate entity, right? Which no longer never came into existence. So like, what do you? So any of these things that these things, this question of the Doronot. Or the Sivlanot is actually discussed by the Allah. So my hava Allah. So what's with it? What's the bottom line? So Omar of Papa, the Atra de Mekadshe, Vahadar Misavle, Chashinan. In a place where the custom is that you do kiddushin, and I remember they would do kiddushin and then erusin separate. Yeah, you do kiddushin and nisuin separate. I mean, right? Erusin and kiddushin are the same thing. You do kiddushin and you do nisuin separately. So you do the kiddushin hariat mekudeshetli, and you'd give a shavet pruta va'odech, and then you'd give presents, right? Because who are you giving the present to? Your wife.
Betrothed.
You're betrothed.
She's not your wife. Yeah.
Well, she is your wife. She is an Ashish now. You can't.
She has a Zika.
No. Zika is about.
She's connected to you.
She's more than connected. She is your wife. And even though you've never lived together maritally, if you get divorced now, she's an Ashish. She's a Grusha. She needs a get. She can't marry a Kohen. Right. So in a place where the minag is that first you do the kiddushin and then you send the gifts, chayshinan me savle, the hadar mikadshe, lo chayshinan, mikadshe v'hadar misavle. I'm sorry, I read it wrong. My havala, Omer of Papa, the atra de mekadshe vahader misable, chayshinan. Right? When you do the kiddushin and then you send the gifts, so then we're concerned that the gifts might be the thing that puts a half pruta over the top. Misavle vahader mekadshe, but in places where the custom is different, where they, in places where they would get engaged the way we get, meaning they agree they're going to be getting married. Right? And you give a gift, and then you do the kiddushin. Lo chayshinon. Lo chayshinon. Because what was given before was obviously not l'shem kiddushin. How do you know that? Because the next day, he did a maaseh kiddushin. If he thought the gift, which was certainly worth more than a shavet pruta, if he, girls, here's a sign. If a guy gives you a gift and it's less than a shavet pruta, he's not the guy for you, right? He gave a gift that was more than a shavet pruta, right? It was pearls. The next day he does kiddushin. What does that tell you about what he thought the pearls were? That they were not the kiddushin.
Or he wouldn't have done it. Why would he bother going to kiddushin?
Isn't it the reverse of the Mishnah?
Well, it's a different case. Yes, but so that's what the Gemara says. Gemara says that if he gives... if he gives kiddushin first, he gives a half pruta for kiddushin, and then he gives gifts. So then you have to suspect. The Gemara doesn't say that they are married. They say there's a suspicion of marriage, which means that either they have to finish the deal properly, or if at that point they decide they're not going through with it, then she needs a get. Because there was a chashash of kiddushin, a get misafek, right?
It says to finish the deal properly. The original half put or whatever is not. There's
right.
A whole pruta still.
Right. So now he would have to give a whole pruta, you know, for. So the Gemara says, Mikadshe vahader mesable pshita. That's obvious. Lo, sricha, deruba mikadshe vahader mesable. In a place where the majority, where the custom in this place is, first you do kiddushin, and then you give gifts.
But some people.
So you have to be suspected. Some people might do it the other way. Umiuta misable. For the few people, for the minority that first give the gifts. Vahader mikache. Mahu detema. Nichush lemiuta. We have to be concerned about the minority. We have to be concerned about the minority. Komash malon. No, you don't have to be concerned about the minority. Boy minei Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, mi Rava. He asks the question of Rav Huna. Huchzak shtar ktuva b'shuk. Lost and found. You're walking through the shuk, and you find a ktuba. And on the ketuba it says that Ploni married Plonit on such and such a date. Into Kedat Moshe of Israel, you find somebody's ketubah.
What does it have to do with this?
Hold on a second. Hold on. It's a parallel case. You'll see in a second. Right? Tzvi, you're going to make us think. You didn't prepare the Gemara in advance. So you find a ketubah in the shuk. Mahu. Does that ketubah somehow serve as evidence that the people named in it are married? What would you think?
Sorry.
Not necessarily.
If they get divorced, she still has a ketubah. It doesn't mean they can be,
no, they could have been married at one time. Is that right.
What you're... Seder, is it proof that they're married? No.
Well, no.
No, not just because they, not just because maybe they got divorced.
Because it was in the street. So
is it, what?
It wasn't in their home. It was cast aside.
Well, I mean, it's lost and found. That's, if you go into somebody's home and they have a framed ketubah on the wall and it's their names and it's in their house, it's a pretty good sign. But here you just find the ketubah, right? Doesn't have to be in the shuk. That's what the Gemara's expression is for, like, finding some of those things. And it's signed. How could such a ketubah exist without having created, having been a part of a wedding?
Depends on the context.
It depends on the context. Didn't you ever watch TV? You're so holy preparing the Gemara every week, you don't have time to watch movies. You never saw somebody left at the altar? At your wedding, when did they sign the ketubah?
Before.
At the chosen stish. Nowadays, you go to weddings now, where do they sign the ketubah? This is a new thing that's come about in the last number of years. Since this, we were talking a few weeks ago, and you checked with your rabbi in Los Angeles about being miyached the edim, right? Saying that these are the edim, the exclusion of all others, which is something that...
A long time in Hagen all of a sudden changed.
It's an interesting question. But at your wedding, they did this.
His father was 50
years before. But that was the minority. The overwhelming majority of people in the days when I got married, when you got married, and certainly when you gentlemen got married, nobody did this.
But I don't get it. His father learned it in Slobodka.
Yechvaliot, but it was not the minhag ha-pashut. It wasn't the widespread minhag. There's always somebody that's going to do something, but it was not the widespread minhag. Right? That when you say so and so and so and so are invited to be the Eidei Kedushin to the exclusion of all others, we learned this sugya a few weeks ago, and that's how it came up. So now this thing where they fill in the ketubah beforehand, like at the chosin's tish with the sponge cake, but the Eidim sign it under the ketubah, under the chuppah, and there's like a pause, like when they're reading the person reads the ketubah. Right? It says Ni'um, and then the two aid. Now, there's this other fashion now in Israel. In Israel, the Rabbanut, for some reason, prefers that the Eidei Kiddushin also serve as the Eidei Ketubah.
Rav Moshe also said that.
Rav Moshe discusses this, but this is now that, like, in the Rabbanut, when you go to register for the Rabbanut, you have to say who the Eidim are going to be. And they really want that, you know, if you don't do it, they're not going to say the wedding didn't work. But they really want the Eidei Kiddush and Eidei Ketubah to be the same. It's two less kibudim, yeah. So, it might be bureaucratic. It's easier to track down every, if you have to only track down two people instead of four people. But the Eidei Kiddushin are there at the chuppah, and they're signing the ketubah there at the chuppah.
But it's still before the Kiddushin.
It's after the Kiddushin.
They sign that.
Yeah. They do the Birkat Erusin and the Hariat Mekudeshet. And they say, Rabbi so and so is Mechubid with the Kriyas Aksuba, and he comes up and he reads the Ksuba, and when he gets to the signatures, they stop and they pause and they sign, and then he reads the names out loud. He misreads them, as minig is to misread the names, because you can't read what it says. And then they go on. Anyway, okay, we'll pause. We'll have to come back how these two cases are parallel. We'll pause here and we'll come back to it next week. Thank you to the folks online. We will see you again.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Bye. Rabbi. Thank you.